Hello and welcome to our SirSOA.com webcast on BPM and SOA. We are going to look at some practical approaches. This webcast was recorded in June 2009. It was done in two parts. This part is entitled SOA and BPM, a process-centric approach, background and basics. There is an accompanying webcast that is known as SOA and BPM, a process-centric approach, a look at methodology. My name is Jack Vaughn. I'm the editor for SirSOA.com, and I'll be your webcast moderator today. Our guest speaker today is Peter Woodhull. Peter is the founder and president of Modus 21. Thanks for joining us today, Peter.
Thank you, Jack.
In case you and the audience are joining us for the first time in one of these webcasts, let me give you an idea of what to expect. To begin, Peter will give a presentation. During this presentation, the slides and any accompanying URLs and images will be pushed to your PC screen automatically. So there's no need for you to do anything on your end to view the presentation. Should you have difficulty viewing any of the slides during this presentation, please click on the Enlarge Slide button on your presentation window for a full screen view. After his presentation, I will ask Peter a few questions. But let's tell you why we asked Peter Woodhull to join us today. At his Modus 21 professional services and consulting firm, he and his crew have worked to create a view and ability for people to move from technology-centric to process-centric approaches. I think we all know that technology is the bread and butter for a lot of us, but we can get hung up with each new technology coming down the road, and the process-centric approach is an effort to take some of the mystery out of it. That's in my words. Peter and Modus 21 seek to implement proven business process management and service-oriented architecture principles and tools, and we will learn more as we go ahead. Okay, Peter, I invite you to take it away.
Thank you, Jack. First, I'd like to, again, reiterate my thanks to you and to SirSOA for the opportunity to present this material. And secondly, I'm going to start by giving just a real quick background on Modus 21's focus and on my background as a BPM and SOA practitioner, if you will. Modus 21 actually started operating as an entity in 2004, but several of the individuals that comprise our consulting organization have been working together on various business process management and service-oriented architecture projects since roughly 2000. So we actually have some expertise that kind of predates the industry-accepted terminology, if you will. That's just to say that we actually have some background that goes back quite some time at this point. We have implemented or participated in, at this point, something greater than 50 BPM or SOA projects. In 2008, we were actually named as a Gartner Cool Vendor in BPM, which is interesting in and of itself, given that we don't sell BPM. We're not a vendor. We're actually a consulting practice around the BPM technology capabilities. So to be named as a cool vendor was kind of a Gartner was to some extent stepping out of their standard operating procedure there. We have professional consultants focused on both process-oriented systems relative to business process management and service-oriented architectures. This is something that we have found to be of great benefit to our clients. We don't bring just technology capabilities relative to BPM or SOA. And the rationale behind that is that from our perspective, BPM and SOA are, in fact, joined at the hip. They should be. And so that's actually how we've grown our practice relative to those technologies. So, to that end, the focus of this presentation is around the promise of BPM. Effectively, what is it, how is it, why do we try and do it, and how do we try and do it? How does an organization realize the promise of BPM? Well, the answer to that question is multifaceted, but it shouldn't be complicated. In effect, an implementation team needs to focus on the what and the why of a BPM and SOA implementation. Subsequently, that should inform how a BPM and SOA initiative is performed. Ultimately, I want to provide some advice, and this will be in the next presentation. I want to provide some advice about regarding practical implementations of the BPM and SOA capabilities. Interestingly, I mentioned Gartner earlier, but I'm sure we're all fairly well aware of the Gartner hype cycle. And I would, from my perspective, I would say that BPM and SOA are somewhere in the trough of disillusionment relative to that hype cycle. So one of the big questions at this point from an industry perspective is how should we approach the slope of enlightenment? My perspective and Modus 21's perspective from a professional regard is that process is the key. We really need to approach these technologies from a process-oriented perspective. We need to calculate and justify the value of a process-centric approach. That's actually something that we've tried to do in our white paper that's available. But to provide examples of that, I will occasionally talk about both Dell and FedEx. Both of those organizations are inherently technology-enabled, but what's really made them successful and why I speak about them and why business schools talk about them is that they do what they do better than anybody else out there, whether it's technology or not. They are process-oriented organizations. They minimize the requirement on their customers. They minimize the requirement on their personnel. They maximize the capabilities provided by their IT systems. That's what's actually driven their success. That is actually what we try to bring to our clientele, and that is what any implementation team should focus on and try and do for their organization relative to BPM and SOA. So to that end, during this conversation, I'm going to talk about some examples that we have realized in our practice. One is an aircraft manufacturer, one is a law firm, one's an insurance provider, and one's a financial institution, and I will call these out relative to the slides coming forth. So the stack that you now see, the technology stack that you now see, is fairly common. This is something that's provided by many vendors. What's unique about this slide is that we have actually denoted relative to the stack components where we consider BPM and SOA. And the one thing I want to focus on here is, again, as I mentioned earlier, that business process management and service-oriented architectures should be considered two sides of the same coin. Those two things should comprise service-oriented computing capabilities. And the rationale behind this is that many organizations have done BPM, and if you do BPM by itself, ultimately you get glorified workflow. Many organizations have done SOA, but if you do SOA by itself, you get the proliferation of services that are lots of times ungoverned and not well managed and don't actually provide legitimate business value. The goal is to actually provide a technology mechanism, whereby business can achieve its strategic and technical and tactical goals. We term this service-oriented computing because we try and get our clients to focus on both the process-oriented capabilities as well as the service-oriented capabilities. And if you look at this from a holistic perspective, it actually informs and enables the implementation path a lot better. As a quick example of this, we've done some work with a financial institution, which actually they had a BPM capability in place, but it actually did not provide the practical business benefit that they had been expecting or promised. And the rationale or the reasoning for that was that the group that actually implemented it for them looked at it solely as a BPM tool. And so all they did was model a business process, and they didn't take into account the ultimate goals of the organization or the capability of leveraging additional technology services in the organizational environment. And so the business users were constantly having to work around the BPM tool to actually integrate with other systems or get data or provide data to other systems, and it ultimately ended up being a headache. That's an example of one of the things we try and avoid with our clients, and all implementation teams should be aware of. So the problem with BPM in general is twofold. One, and this is probably the biggest hurdle, is that lots of people consider BPM to be a software solution, i.e. you buy it, you install it, and you're now a BPM shop. Well, that's not true. BPM is just like most other software. You buy it and you install it, and it does almost nothing. It does absolutely nothing until someone configures it or provides enough executable knowledge for the BPM to provide a utility or a capability to its user base. So BPM is not something that you can buy. The second problem that we have found with BPM is there is a misunderstanding at the management level, upper management level, where management thinks that it's a mechanism to constrain capabilities of the resources. So in this slide, what the significance of the triangle being sectioned into three sections is the top section, what's now green, is indicative of the upper level management. The middle section is actually what we commonly reference as the business user community, or the people who are actually trying to get the work done in an organization. And the bottom layer, for visualization purposes, we qualify as the technology team or the IT group within an organization. This slide is representing the fact that in lots of organizations, BPM is presented or is considered to be a means by which upper management can control the organization. Well, that works really well for upper management, hence the green top on the triangle. But it presents all kinds of problems for the people trying to get the job done, hence the red layer. And it has almost no constraints or implications for the IT group other than the fact that it's another piece of software they have to control. So there's no real impact other than they're running another server. This isn't the way it's supposed to work. Service-oriented architectures, contrary to BPM, is actually a bottom-up approach in lots of organizations. This is a problem just like the top-down approach of BPM. Lots of organizations have IT groups that buy the marketing hype of SOA. They buy an infrastructure, they put it in place, they start building services that make their lives easier. So it's great for the IT group, but ultimately it presents problems for the business users or the people trying to get the work done. Hence, in this image, we're showing green on the bottom and red in the middle. And the reality is when this happens, lots of times the upper-level management doesn't even know that SOA has been deployed in their organization, so they're just going along kind of wondering why the business users are having a hard time, and there's constant struggle and fatigue between the business group and the IT group. An example of this is an insurance services provider that we've seen, that we worked with in the past, where services were defined as part of services were not defined as part of a business process. Services were deployed because it made it easy for the engineering group to do their jobs, made it easy for them to provide capability, but the services were not defined in accordance with the goals that the business users were trying to accomplish. Hence, there was constant strife between the business users and the IT group. The best case scenario, the ultimate goal, and what we try and help our clients focus on is kind of a bottom-up and top-down approach. Again, from a terminology perspective, we talk about this as a service-oriented computing facility. The goal of this is to bring the management to the table, to bring the user community to the table, and bring IT to the table, but we have to focus on the fact that ultimately we're aligning IT and business with the goal of supporting both the tactical and the strategic initiatives of the organization. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the strategic goals of the organization are defined by upper-level management. The tactical approach lots of times is implemented or supported by IT, but ultimately the most significant slice of the triangle here is in the business community, because they're responsible for meeting the strategic goals as defined by upper management and leveraging the tactical solutions put in place by IT. So where we really try and focus our implementation teams is right in that middle slice, i.e., how do we best support the business users who are trying to meet the goals of the organization and leverage the IT resources to help facilitate their client and customer needs. So, how do you do that? There are a couple of key factors involved in that. This slide is showing an example of a standard workflow diagram that we generate as part of our process working with clients, but the significant factor here is that this is something that most organizations have a really hard time with. There are various techniques out there for modeling business processes, for representing how work gets done in an organization. That's been going on for decades. The interesting factor that we find is that most organizations are not very good at doing this and combining both human-facing capabilities as well as system-level capabilities in the same model. Well, if you don't do that, you don't have a good view of what the business process actually is. So in this slide, we're showing that organizations need to actually model both their process-oriented capabilities as well as their service-oriented capabilities, and that gives them a holistic view and a mechanism whereby they can actually define the interactions between humans and IT systems. This is, again, a view of service-oriented computing, such that this is a conceptual model, an artifact that can be leveraged across an organization so everybody clearly understands how what work is getting done and how it's getting done. This becomes a tool that helps upper management, business, and IT all have a firm understanding of exactly what needs to get done. A good example of an organization that we've done work with here relative to this type of view is we've done work with a law firm where, in effect, what happened was they had a technology first approach, and they purchased a BPM tool, and they did not actually go through the effort to define the business process that was being implemented. They didn't have a view such as this. And what they did was they just went in and started building out capabilities inside the tool. Ultimately, that presented numerous problems for them because the IT group had no idea what the expectations were, and their business users actually didn't understand what was being modeled in the tool as well. So a mechanism that we helped implement right away was a common view in this type of format whereby everybody could agree on exactly what was happening. So at the beginning I said we were going to discuss what and how and then what and why and then how we were going to how an organization should implement BPM and SOA. So we've kind of defined thus far what it is that we're talking about. So hence BPM and SOA and the consolidated view that those are two sides of the same coin, hence service-oriented computing. One of the other major factors that we always try and enforce is the reality that there's a very clear reason why an organization should do this. Why is it? Why should a company go through this? Because in reality, you're talking anytime we implement new technology or new capabilities, there's some pain. So why should the organization suffer through that pain? Well, there's some fairly good rationales for this. First of all, at the upper-level management perspective, at the CXO level, whether that's the CEO, COO, CTO, there's any executive management team should really understand the complexity of the work being done. This is an interesting phenomenon that we have seen across the board. You go into an organization and you sit down and you spend some time with the business users. Invariably, you go back and show the results of that to the executive team, and they're blown away by the complexity of what their resources are actually doing, how complicated the business processes are. Well, that's a huge problem. If the executive-level management doesn't understand what's getting done, how they manage that strategically comes into question. The other thing that's really concerning is that the goal of the executive officers should be, or one of the goals should be, to increase system-level complexity or organizational complexity while reducing the complications for business users and customers, i.e., better facilitating the strategic goals of the organization. So we need to increase capabilities, but we need to minimize or decrease the requirements on our users and our customers. Well, problems with that can be demonstrated in these statistics. We need to systems and or efforts fail due to a bad focus. These statistics show 70% of business reengineering efforts fail. Roughly 85% of workers find ways around the BPM systems that are put in place. Rationale for that is that these tools or these efforts aren't actually helping solve their problems. 32% of all projects succeed, 44 are challenged, and 24 fail, according to the Standish Group. And 21% of a large company's IT budget's wasted due to those statistics, of Standish statistics. This demonstrates that there's a huge IT burden inside most organizations. That's not the way it's supposed to work. IT should support the organization, and the requirements, the cost and time requirements of IT should be relative to the goals of the organization. We shouldn't be wasting 21% of an IT budget because we're having failed projects. Why is BPM and SOA good for the business community, i.e. this is the middle layer of our triangle, for the business users? Well, there are numerous factors here. This slide is showing that first and foremost, the requirement any organization needs to recognize is that the business users need to own and control the business processes that they're executing. We have seen historically that most IT groups try and buy and implement a BPM tool or an SOA tool, and then they end up owning long-term both that technology, and unfortunately, they also end up owning both the business process or the services being provided. But that can't happen. The IT group isn't adequately capable of supporting those requirements. That's not their job. IT needs to actually support and facilitate certain components of the business group's goal relative to the development cycle of a BPM project. So implementation and improvement or eliminating steps within a business process are perfect examples of that. But the goal here is that the business group has to own the business process being implemented. An example of this is an insurance service provider that we've worked with. We went in and helped them implement a group implementation process for their insurance clients. And what they have subsequently done after the fact, we empowered the business users. They own the business process. They have a great big giant model of their business process up on a wall, and on a periodic basis, they go back and review it, make modifications, make changes. They then go back and get IT to help them make those changes. They've accepted ownership of the business process. The business process is supported by technology and the IT group, but ownership clearly falls within the business user community. Interestingly enough, we also helped them with a second business process relative to another product they offered, during the process of which we identified that even with a streamlined business process, the product they were offering was, for all practical purposes, upside down. They couldn't, from a revenue perspective, justify continuing to provide that product. Through that process, we gave them the ability, and we give them the information necessary for them to make a business decision to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to better provide that capability such that it would be revenue generating. Had that been relegated to the IT group would have just implemented the process and they would have continued losing money. But because it was owned by the business users, they recognized the problem. They had the information readily available to them, and they were able to make a good business decision regarding the strategic goals of the company. again, just an example where if the business owns it, they can make the right decisions, not something that the IT group is necessarily equipped to do. And just kind of to wrap up why this is good for an organization, ultimately, the goal of an organization is to increase its revenues. What we see is that a lot of organizations are in the current situation that's demonstrated here. Increasing revenues has a direct correlate where they have to increase the resources, both financial resources as well as human resources, to continue seeing that those revenues go up. The problem is that as your resources go up, your risk goes up as well. And you end up with a situation where those three things are tracking along together, and it's not actually meeting the strategic goals of the organization. What we try and do is help organizations achieve the goal whereby they can increase revenues by by leveraging appropriate technology that helps them to kind of slowly and gradually increase their resource requirements, and risk runs in as a factor of resources, but in effect what we've done is we have started pushing away the curve of revenue from resources, and so ultimately organizations see a better return on the resources they allocate to achieving corporate goals. So in effect, what we've demonstrated here is the what and the why of BPM and SOA. The what, of course, being service-oriented computing is kind of a holistic view of BPM and SOA. And why do we want to do it? Is because we want to achieve organizational goals by providing capabilities to the business users. The next thing we'll present is how do we actually want to do that? What are some practical recommendations on how an organization can do that?
Well, Peter.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate that. I think that was a very thorough view. As we said, we're looking at it as a background, setting the stage for other things to consider in future webcast, and I do have a question, and somewhat related to slide 4, you said as a worst-case scenario, this is what I took, with BPM, that you may get glorified workflow. I don't know if this is similar or different. Wondering what you might mean by that. I'm wondering if it's the case that one might deploy BPM, but it's hardwired BPM, or inflexible, that if you want to change anything, you have to go, which of course people do, if you want to change everything that you have to go back to square one. Do you see anything like that? And I mean, what do you mean by glorified workflow?
Right. Actually, that's a really good question, Jack. And so BPM, one of the things that I didn't mention in enough context is that ultimately BPM is not a tool-based capability. BPM is, more than anything else, it should be considered a management strategy, a management capability that is tool-enabled or IT-enabled. Lots of organizations will buy a BPMS, a business process management suite. They'll implement it. They'll have their IT group go out and model out a business process, put it into the system, it's implemented, and now it's concrete. They don't have any external artifacts that represent the rationale behind the implementation. They don't review the business process that's been implemented on a recurring basis. They don't grant ownership of the process to the business users. And so, in effect, what happens is that business process becomes static, concrete, and ultimately it becomes brittle, because when the organization changes, and change happens all the time, if anything, the current technology and computing environment is requiring that businesses be more agile, more able to change in accordance with industry. But when an organization implements a business process and then kind of forgets it, it becomes a bigger burden on them to go back and figure out why did they do something some way, or who is in charge of figuring this out, or who actually should be making decisions about this business process. So when I say glorified workflow, what I meant ultimately was that in that regard, they have this great big giant sledgehammer, and all they've done is implemented a static workflow that they could have done with much less expensive or capable solution, or they may not even have needed to do it inside of an IT tool. I'm not a big proponent of that personally, but the reality is that's what a lot of organizations end up with. And we've gone into numerous companies, and that's the situation they've got. They spent a bunch of money on a BPMS tool. They hired a consulting group to come in and implement it, and then they forgot it. And 2 years later, they are asking, well, why are we continuing to pay thousands of dollars a year in support for this software tool that no one's touched or made modifications to? So that was what I meant when I said that they can get glorified workflow if they don't actually leverage it properly. And again, my perspective is that the BPM tool is a technology that should support a management capability. Hence, if you implement a business process in a BPM tool, you need to, on a recurring basis, go back and reevaluate that. You need to empower your business users to own it and change it in accordance with their changing business needs. That's where the real power and capability of a BPM tool is.
Thanks. We'll keep digging in on this. Everyone out there, this does conclude today's expert webcast. And so in BPM with Peter Woodhull of Modus 21. From Jack for CertSOA.com, I'll say goodbye, have a good day, and have a pleasant tomorrow.